A study, The Canadian Contribution to the U.S. Physician Workforce, published in the April 10, 2007 edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, shows that 1 in 9 trained in Canada physicians practices in the United States and clearly illustrates the hurdles faced by governments trying to stem the shortage of physicians in their provinces. I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Robert Phillips, Director of the Robert Graham Center, Policy Studies in Family Medicine and Primary Care, and co-author of this study. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure to do so. And the first question I want to ask you is, when looking at this issue, what was the source of your data? What were the information sources that you went to try and get an accurate reflection of this particular problem?
Well, I used the American Medical Association master file of physician data, which is the largest and best source of physician information in the United States. But I also used information from sources in Canada, including the Canadian Medical Association and the CIHI, the Canadian Institute for Health Information, and because I wanted to be able to make sure that I was accurately looking at the same flow of physicians mm-hmm. from both sides of the border, and I really had to use data from both sides to assess that.
Now, is it possible to review the policies that led to the present shortage in Canada and what the reasoning was behind the decisions that led to these policies being instituted?
Well, you know, that's a little bit beyond my expertise, mm-hmm. but what I can talk to is just, you know, what I read in terms of the shortage. There were a couple conditions that set up the shortage in Canada from my reading, and those are that there were some decisions made in the 80s and 90s to reduce the number of medical students in Canada because there was a perception of a surplus, and also to restrict the inflow of international medical graduates, so foreign-trained physicians into the Canadian workforce. And then the other thing was a rising debt level for Canadian physicians and a differential payment, a higher payment on the American side that was an inducement for physicians to come to the U.S. or to train in the U.S. and then remain here. Mm-hmm. So those two things, cutting on the one side and then an inducement to cross the border, really set up what is perceived now as a shortage in Canada.
What were the actual numbers of Canadian trained physicians practicing in the U.S. in this study?
Well, we found about 12,000 Canadian physicians in the U.S., and we wanted to make sure we were looking at those physicians who are actually practicing medicine. And that number is nearly 9,000 now. So nearly 9 out of the 12 are practicing medicine full-time or the majority of the time in America.
I wanted to also know what you mentioned the motivating factors for physician exodus in the 80s and 90s. What are the factors nowadays?
Well, Canada has announced that there is a shortage of Canadian physicians, and so the way that I can see that they've dealt with that is by expanding medical school training, by actually building new medical schools, and by coming up with some new payment schemes that might be inducement to keep physicians in Canada. And then I also read just yesterday that Health Canada has investing about $4 million in bringing more international medical graduates mm-hmm. or foreign-trained physicians into the Canadian workforce. Seeing all of those policies, which while positive for improving the Canadian workforce, is one of the things that made me start to question, well, if there's a large flow of the Canadian physicians into the U.S., might that be another target for policies to try and improve the retention or wooing back of those physicians to Canada? I haven't read a lot of policies directed at making that happen.
Now, are there any specific recommendations made in the report as to what policies could or should governments adopt to encourage either recruitment or even retention of physicians to even prevent them from leaving the province? And then, if there are these incentives, the physicians that are already practicing in Canada are going to also want to say, well, you know, you're trying to keep people here, but what about the ones that are actually stayed here now? Is there something you're going to do for those physicians as well?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of room to talk about specific policies. And, mm-hmm. and again, because it's not my area of expertise, we left it rather general. But what we focused on were things that that I've heard from Canadian physicians and people who train Canadian physicians, and my co-author, Dr. Walter Rosser at Queen's University, is that the debt level is a particular problem. That graduates of Canadian medical schools have a real incentive to look for ways to increase salary, and mm-hmm. if one of those is to cross the border, then they may be inspired to do that. So dealing with debt. The second is coming up with payment policies that make the differential between the U.S. and Canada less large, less inducing to leave. And then another is that there have been some caps put on specialization, both at the training level and in the provinces, in terms of how many physicians are allowed to be practicing there with specialty certification. Now, there are real reasons to do that in terms of managing your healthcare system. But by placing those restrictions there, Canadian physicians who want to get that kind of expertise and training are certainly induced to leave. And then once they leave and get that training, they're 9 times more likely to stay in the U.S. or U.K. or wherever it is that they find that training. So possibly opening some more opportunities for subspecialization of those physicians in Canada and creating practice opportunities may be another way to keep them or even to induce them to come back.
Well, what you're saying is a story that I heard repeated, and one of the people that related the story was Dr. Brian Day, who's president-elect of the Canadian Medical Association. And when I spoke to him, he said he was speaking to orthopedic residents in Toronto, those that were just about to graduate, and there were 3 of them that wanted to stay in Ontario. In fact, wanted to stay in Toronto to practice. And again, as you've mentioned, you know, to have the opportunity to improve upon their expertise and to have time to actually practice what they've learned. And they found that there was no hospitals were taking them because there was no OR times. There was nobody, there wasn't enough space available for them to be able to operate. And as a result, all 3 of them left for the United States.
Interesting. Huh. So it really bears out some of the reasons that I've heard as well then, too.
And that's a story that is a recurring problem. There's a cardiothoracic surgeon that is right now in his fellowship year that is uncertain. He wants to stay here in Ottawa. His wife is a family doctor as well in Ottawa, and they want to stay here. They like the lifestyle. They enjoy the city. And yet right now there is no indication that there's any spaces to open up once he graduates to stay and to be a cardiothoracic surgeon in Ottawa. So these stories, as you've mentioned, are very common. And it's distressing because you're spending all this time training people and supporting these people in their training. And yet when the time comes for them to actually practice, the support isn't there.
And you know, those anecdotes are important in terms of pointing out what the particular problems are, and in terms of, you know, if Canadian citizens are experiencing difficulty accessing those very kinds of care. But the thing I got most concerned about, too, was the volume. I mean, it's almost as if Canada has 2 medical schools dedicated entirely to supplying physicians to the United States. Now, it is, I don't mean to point at any particular schools, because it's not 2 distinct schools, but mm-hmm. The volume is the equivalent of 2 average-sized Canadian medical schools. And that probably is not desirable for Canada and for the outlay of capital and cash and mental capacity mm-hmm. and care that could be kept in Canada if that flow wasn't induced by the things that you're talking about.
Now, are you planning any future studies or taking this issue a bit further? As you mentioned, you haven't really focused on the policy solutions as of yet, but is there a means of looking into this issue to know what would be the best way to either entice people to come back to Canada? And part of the problem, too, is once you've made that move and you've invested that time and you set down roots, it's hard to get up and move back.
Yeah, you know, I don't... The one thing I am going to continue to track is that it appears that around 2004, maybe 2005, that the immigration started to slow down, and that in fact there may be more Canadian physicians returning to Canada than leaving. I'm a little concerned that the data used to look at that, there's a lag of about 5 years, mm-hmm. and so my particular interest is to track that and see if it's true. In our study, we actually used two different slices of data, two different years, to see if that lag was real, and it was. That if you looked at 2002, it appeared that that was happening, and then if you looked at 2006, you actually saw that the numbers caught up, that you could actually see that the immigration had continued. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see, first, if this trend continues. And if it doesn't, then it would be worthwhile to look at what policies have been put in place in the early 2000s that might be the answer to the problem. And if it hasn't answered the problem, then the study that you suggested would be important mm-hmm. to find out from those physicians what caused them to immigrate and what might be an inducement to come home.
Well, Dr. Phillips, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss this issue with us and give our listeners a bit more of an appreciation of the problems that we face in Canada, and especially with that, it's almost a canary in a coal mine situation where mentioning 2 out of 17 medical schools are, on a whole, being producing physicians that are ending up going to the United States.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Thanks.
All the best.
Okay.